or you'll fall for "you stink" every time. So Elijah must change his view of the way God works. It doesn't work like we expect, but he always works. And must change his view of himself, must preach to himself instead of believing these lies. And there is a third view that he must change. And this is his view of God's plan. And this is in verse 15. Verse 15 of our passage continues, And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." You remember Elijah's point of view now at this point? You remember his little song he sung twice? All is lost. There's no hope. I'm the only one left. Ahab and Jezebel weren't converted. I'm no better than my fathers, the prophets before me. Lord, take my life. And look how God responds. Verse 15. And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Elijah, for your information, I'm still sovereign over the nations. Go and anoint Hazael." And he continues, verse 16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint. Elijah, for your information, I'm still sovereign over the northern kingdom of Israel. So go and anoint Jehu. And again, 16 continues, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. Elijah, for your information, my word will not be silenced. It will go forward. Go and anoint Elisha to be prophet in your place. And finally, verse 18 says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal. Elisha, finally, for your information, I'm still sovereign in the salvation of men. I will cause to remain 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. All of this to tell Elijah, things might not have turned out like you planned, but Elijah, my plan is still on track, and I will accomplish my purpose. Same conclusion Job made toward the end of that book. In Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So the third view that we need to change is our view of God's plan. Nothing can thwart the plan of God. Who will rise up and derail the eternal decree of God Almighty? Can you think of anyone? Will some foreign power come to rule in Iraq that will make God say, "Well, how about that? I didn't see that coming." Nothing will thwart the plan of God. A well-known English hymn writer was named William Cooper. Wrote a hymn that you probably have not sung called "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." He wrote this at the end of a nearly suicidal bout of depression. I believe it was in 1774. He hired a cab one evening to take him down to the Ouse River, 3 miles away from his home, where he planned to end his life. Well, he was a believer. Let me add that. The driver, obviously recognizing the state of mind of Mr. Cooper, just breathed a prayer of thanks as his cab, his and his transom entered a fog on their way down to the river. And the driver noticed that Mr. Cooper in the back fell asleep. And so the driver of the cab did nothing but circle the streets of London for hours in the fog while Mr. Cooper slept. Finally, after a long, long cab ride, the driver again pulled up in front of Mr. Cooper's own home, and Cooper awoke and said, "We're back home. How is that?" "Got lost in the fog, sir. Sorry." And Cooper paid the man, went inside, and realized the merciful providence of God that night that spared his life. The plan that had not been derailed. And that night, Cooper penned these words. In 1774, he wrote this autobiographical hymn. "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." And as you sit here this morning, depressed about some circumstance, some idea, some hope that did not turn out, you must know God's plan has not been derailed. God's good plan for you will be accomplished. "I will do all things according to my own purpose," he says to you. How do we fight? How do we fight spiritual depression? We confront it with the Word of God. We correct it with the truth of God. The truth about the way he works. The truth about you. The truth about his plan. Confront it with the Word of God. Correct it with the truth of God. Let me pray for us. And Heavenly Father, the last thing we would want anyone to think would be that we snap our fingers and depression is gone. It is a fight. And I pray, Lord, for the saints here today that you would give us the will to fight. That we could take fresh courage today. But that we would hear your word come to us and say, "What are you doing here?" Help us to preach to ourselves. Use your word to confront our depression. And God, use your truth to correct those views about us and you that are false. We need the enabling power of your Spirit to do this, and we cry for his help today. We pray this through the strong name of Christ. Amen. I thank you, friends. You're dismissed.